You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 184 of Another Woodshop Podcast, the last episode of 2023. And as we're wrapping up our fourth year of podcasting, that's right, fourth year. And despite the world and all of our loved ones telling us this is a waste of time and we'll never go anywhere with it, here we are, 4 years later, still trying to prove them wrong. And one day we'll show them. So put your hands together for your favorite and only host of AWP, Pete Leviticus Kapar. And Daniel Aloysius Dunlap. And the crowd goes mild.
I don't know how to go mild.
You just don't get as excited. I don't know. The crowd goes mild. Yeah, congrats. It's like polite applause where you're like, when's the headliner coming on?
So you dropped the, we're going on our, are we going on our fifth year of podcasting?
Well,
or
what
our
is going on? Is that like you're wrapping up or going into? Because like we're about to start our fifth.
Going on is because we wrapped up a certain number and we're going on to the next one. So like I just turned 45.
Again?
So I'm going on my 46th year of life. Right?
Or is 21 with, what is 21 with 25 years of experience?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, we've been doing this damn podcast for decades now, I feel like.
It feels like
decades.
So if you guys are fairly new or newish or have never listened to the beginning, we started this podcast the week of COVID starting in 2020.
Correct.
In March. So we're not quite like Correct. At a full 4 years yet, but it's the fourth calendar year that we're doing this, and it's kind of crazy that we're still here. And still terrible.
Still.
Get used to it.
still banging these out.
And speaking of banging and these and out,
you didn't give me
See, four years of doing this and we still don't have our poop together, because I usually remind Dan that we have to pull up our patrons.
This is totally your fault.
The best thing about all this is that I think over the last 4 years we have really grown, and one of the skills that we have learned to utilize the most on a show is probably stalling, which is not what I'm doing right now. I don't want to confuse it with what I'm doing right now. It's monologuing. And, you know, if you,
I mean, I like that word.
The monologuing. Yes, that's good. It's something that we do on this episode often. And, you know, it reminds me of a old Hemingway poem. Actually, you know what, Dan, I'll talk about it later.
That was top tier monologuing.
Top right tier there. BS.
So, speaking of doing this podcast for decades, we want to give a shout out to all of our patrons. You guys keep this place afloat, each and every one of you.
You keep the toilets flushing, guys. Thank you.
We don't have any new patrons to announce this week. However, as always, we want to give a special little shout out to all of our VIP patrons. And that list is as follows.
Justin.
That list is as follows. Justin Frazier of Canyon Woodworks, or Justin of Frazier Canyon Woodworks, Jesse McIntyre, Gillette Woodworks, Victor Aragama, Nick Brim Woodworking, Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines, Bill Burkle of WTB Woodworking, Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks, on my t-shirt currently, Justin at Calvary Customs, Patrick Gensel, Michael Flickinger, Scott Shirk at Red Leg Custom Woodworks, Max and Mindy Coons, who joined us in the pre-show this week of Stubby K Studio, and Jacob Miller from A Sweet Shop. Thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you to all our patrons. If you want to join the Met Army, as we lovingly call it, you can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and get joined over there. We have a couple tiers you can sign up for. I think we even have a free tier over there now.
We do. It'll get you notified and all this
stuff. I don't know exactly what the free tier gives you, but it's there.
You get previews of all the content that we do drop for the patrons, so you know what is happening behind the scenes, but not the full picture. But if you guys want to help support the show, we appreciate it at any tier. And if you can't sign up, that's okay. We understand it's a monetary, you know, commitment. So if you can at least share the show,
we don't expect
leave a review, share the show, tag us if you enjoy it. Let us know. Our very, very tiny, fragile egos really need the boost once in a while. So anytime somebody messages me and like, hey, absolutely, I enjoyed the show this week, I'd be like, you listened? Like, oh yeah, I like actually.
That's going to get me by time. Another week.
That's going to get me another week. So thank you. Special thank you to all of our top tier patrons. I love all those names. Honestly, I have Emma read those to me before I go to sleep every night so I can have sweet, sweet dreams.
It makes you warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? It's like a virtual tuck-in.
Do not Google virtual tuck-in. I feel like that's going to be... I don't know. It feels like...
that might be... I'm trying to think. A good piece of advice. Don't Google that.
Don't go to Reddit and search that.
Virtual tuck-in.
Well, our sponsor
is a virtual tuck-in?
Our sponsors this week are the patrons. That's it. We have no sponsor this week. But don't have her look it up. She's gonna read on everyone's phone's just going off right now. Now we don't have a sponsor, but we have kind of a long running sponsor over the next couple of weeks. And I just want to remind everyone that if you want to join us at WorkbenchCon, you have two chances to join us. One is to buy a ticket and you can use code AWP for $50 off. You get $50 off and you'll get to enjoy the wonderful thing that is WorkbenchCon with us and save a little money. Or you can try to enter the giveaway and listen to this episode because we are going to be dropping a super secret code phrase that you can then email to us and we can enter you to win. So make sure to listen to the whole thing and the pre-shows. So much excitement. Next week, we announce the winner. You excited, Dan?
We do.
Yeah, that's next week. Next year. Speaking of next year.
That's a old dad joke as old as time. I love it. Speaking of next week, what else do we got going on next week?
Well,
do we have anybody joining us?
Dan, I'm glad you asked. Tiff from Night Carver Designs is joining us. And she is also the sing-song voice behind... voice. She types the emails and handles the administrative stuff for WorkbenchCon as well.
It's a virtual voice.
As well as some other brands. So it's going to be really fun to have someone on that's really ingrained in our community, but is also one of the voices or faces or whatever you want to call it behind the brands. Fingers. That when you reach out to them, that's the person. We often talk about the person you're talking to on the other end of that. And we're pretty like, we don't really bring brands on. That's been our thing since the beginning, but Tiff is one of us. So we're very happy to have her on, very excited. And she's got a lot of cool stuff going on. And she was one of the inspirations behind like Emma coming on full time and doing work with that we're doing now. So much excite. So it's going to be a great episode next week. And we got some good guests lined up for the beginning of the year. Real cool stuff.
I'm going to say this right now.
Don't say it.
I'm going out on a limb. 2024 is going to be top tier.
Yep. That's what they said about 2020. But all right. It'll be a tier, guys. There'll be tears. There'll be tears in 2024.
There it is.
There'll be tears. That's okay. Once again, I'm definitely not going to stall as I figure out, like, what do we actually do? It's been 2 weeks. We took a week off for Christmas. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little lost.
I feel like it's been a month or more, really.
It feels like it. Well, we don't have a guest. We don't have an interview. It literally feels like it's been at least 2 weeks. Like 3 weeks.
Pete, mm-hmm. I don't know if you forgot, but generally right here, and this is pretty new, we usually do like a recap of the Jointry podcast for folks so they don't have to waste their time listening to it.
But
Pete and I dropped the ball. We didn't listen to it.
I mean, the ball drops this weekend at New Year's, but... also, if you're listening to this,
or right, when I was 13,
wow, what's going on? This was Dan when he was little. Like,
Mom, can I have some crackers? I would really like some of them.
What is happening to me?
That was Dan when he was little. Just
fact
in 5 minutes, deep voice or whatever you called that voice that he has now. And we would usually have a guest too, and I feel like we're all thrown off, but We didn't listen to the Joinery podcast, and I don't know if they even did an episode, because we asked our audience in a pre-show, and everyone was like, what are you talking about? What is that, like a movie? Because we're talking about movies, so I don't think anyone listens to it. Is that
really a podcast? I don't know.
I apologize, Luke and Ben, and do I have a third host? They might. I don't know. Or as I...
But actually, speaking of that, the Jointery podcast recaps.
The John and Terry podcast?
Have you noticed they've been doing recaps of our recaps?
Yeah, but they're also splicing all of my audio. They're putting it in their own context that isn't quite...
I think it's lovely. I think it's wonderful.
It's mostly good, yeah. I don't know.
It's mostly just Pete talking and them splicing Pete talking and me just laughing in the background. I think it's great.
Wait, what was you kept saying a phrase over and over again. Oh my God. Oh my God. It was like just you said they spliced it like 8 times in there.
Damn, pretty funny.
Damn you kids. But dude, how was your Christmas? How's your week off that you took for Christmas? Dan?
Our Christmas was pretty dang good, actually. You know, we just spent a lot of time at home. Typically, Kayla and I, we don't buy a whole lot of gifts for our kids just because we don't want them to expect that every year. But our kids actually get a lot throughout the year. Mm-hmm. We buy them stuff all the time. Our kids like want for nothing. I wish that I had the childhood that my kids have, and I'm actually very...
Yeah, but we grew up poor, man.
I'm very grateful that I'm able to give my kids the childhood they have. So, we don't get them a whole lot of gifts. We just get them a few things here and there. But, like, all in all, the Christmas holiday was wonderful. I mean, I had all my siblings over to my house for dinner. And I made 13 pounds of meatloaf.
What's funny is I made a joke. And you're like, yeah, 13 pounds. I'm like, wait, no, you're actually making meatloaf. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I made 13 pounds of meatloaf on my smoker.
Take that, David Wirt, with your 8 pounds of like prime rib.
It was phenomenal. I actually just polished off the meatloaf. Polished off the meatloaf yesterday for dinner, which is actually kind of amazing because there was so much meatloaf. It's just a testament to how much people ate on Christmas Day.
Dan is 2%.
Which fills meatloaf. My heart. Currently, yeah, probably accurate. But it was just great. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy spending time with my family and my kids and my siblings and my mom and Kayla's parents. I guess her brother too. We had a good time.
It's so funny when list a list and then like you get quiet in parts of the list. Like, all right.
you know,
it's not that obvious, but it's obvious. Like, oh,
what do I say about that? It was good. How was yours? You went to Florida, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the McAllisters in Home Alone 2.
Yeah, that was it. Florida. I don't know.
Yes, we talked about this.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that chat. Sorry, you asked me the question right as I was taking a sip of water.
No, it wasn't in chat. We actually talked about it on the podcast last week.
Oh,
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
I wasn't sober at all. But anyways, so we went to Florida, and I actually worked from Florida. So because I do most of my work is remote, and people did not get the memo that it was like Christmas week. So it was busy.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. So this week's a little more chill. It's actually just me at work this week on the evenings, my buddy Frank. So it's been, this week's a little better. People got the memo, but last week was a little, a little busy. And then we were, my brother-in-law's kids were there too. So we were doing a lot of babysitting. So it wasn't a lot of resting. It was like work during the day. And then there was kid running around and then a baby basically. So like, I learned how to like change diapers and like put a kid to sleep and feed them and stuff. So
yeah, here's a gift for you.
Yeah. So, it was, no, it was great though. This kid is like golden. Like one day when I have kids, like I hope my kids are as good as this baby. Cause this baby was so good. So chill. So it was pretty nice. It was great to see everyone. Somehow I came home and I like weighed myself and I was down 3 pounds. I don't know how, because all I did was like, eat and drink and sit around.
I'm up 33 pounds. Easy.
I was that right prior to leaving because I was just eating a lot of junk food and drinking lots of beer. But it's probably because I didn't drink as much beer. I kind of stuck to like healthy stuff like old fashions and bourbon. So, you know,
those are low carb.
Yeah, it's less. Yeah, it's all about the wheats and the beers and stuff. Mm. But no, it was great. It was nice. We did me and Emma are in that like we don't want for much. Like whatever we need or want, we find a way to get it for ourselves or for each other. Mm-hmm. And like, if it's a necessity, we just buy it. There's no like special occasion or whatever. I mean, obviously if the funds allow for it, we can't.
Kayla and I are the same way. Yeah. Like even this year, like we never buy anything each other just because I hate to sound like braggadocious, but like we don't.
Braggalicious.
We don't have anything that we want. That was a weird sound that came out of my mouth just then.
I was going to say, which end did that come out of?
That was weird, right? My mouth just farted. It wasn't a burp. It was a mouth fart. So Kayla and I don't buy anything for each other. I mean, you know, when I want something during the year, I buy it for myself. And she's the same way. And I don't know. We're weird like that. As long as we have each other. I know that sounds super like cliche. As long as we just have each other and we have each other's company, you know, we're good. So I don't know. Sorry, I took your spotlight. Go on.
No, please. This week on the Hallmark Channel, Nebraska love. I get it. Like that's the thing. And the nice thing that Emma's family did. So the families they have tons of family down in Florida, but like the families are getting big enough now where like the kids are getting married and they're having their own kids and stuff. So like it's no longer like a massive like multi-family affair. It's starting to be like more separated and more intimate. So there's only about like 10 of us or something in the house. And we ended up doing, was a White Elephant or whatever. No, Secret Santa, whatever. Secret Santa. And basically we all had somebody, we got a gift for them. And that was it. So like everyone got one gift and then everyone got some extra stuff on the side here or there. You know, it wasn't like you see somebody's, and I'm not disparaging anyone's Christmas and like having tons of presents for everyone. But like I saw a lot of stuff on TikTok of people having like a room of presents.
Yeah.
And,
look, that's great and everything, but wow.
It's a lot. I mean, that's why there's the whole dad stereotype of like, you know, you're there with a garbage bag, like, yeah, give me the wrapping paper and put it in there. listen, this always makes me think of like any Harry Potter fans out there when Harry Potter's stepbrother gets only like 26 presents and last year it was 27. It was like he was like freaking out or whatever. It's supposed to be one more every single year. I feel like that like just gets out of control.
What's weird is I was talking to my wife about this. Like when I was growing up, we were poor AF. My mom would start putting stuff on layaway in September for Christmas. But even when we were poor and didn't have a whole lot, I feel like they went overboard for Christmas. We used to get tons of stuff.
Yeah.
And now that I actually have money, it's not like I got money pouring out of my pockets or anything, but like I'm okay.
Yeah.
But now that I actually have the means to buy my children and family Christmas, like it's not a priority.
You don't just survive anymore. You survive and thrive. Like there's a little bit to thrive to actually splurge and have a good time. You know, I totally get it, man. Like we didn't.
Yeah.
I don't want to say we grew up poor. We did not grow up wealthy, but I was never like, I didn't get the toys I wanted or whatever I wanted, but like I got stuff for the holidays. You know, my parents got me things here or there, but I never got everything. I never got tons of stuff.
I never got everything.
Yeah.
When I was like 8 years old, I wanted the Castle Grayskull He-Man, like giant castle. I never got that.
That's Barbie's dream house for boys.
Now that I have the means, I should probably go buy one.
You just built one in your house. That's the thing behind you.
Yeah. Well, that's, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit in the goals section of our podcast. But yeah, even though like I never got exactly what I wanted on my list, I still got a lot of gifts.
Yep. I can't explain it. Again, can't complain. Great Christmases, my entire childhood, great mm-hmm. memories. And although the gifts weren't many, they were thoughtful and useful.
Yes,
and useful.
They were thoughtful.
That's the thing. Like a lot of it is like useful gifts nowadays. Like Emma
right.
needed AirPods. Like her AirPods were crapping out like 2 months ago and we're at Costco. They're on sale and we're like, I just threw it in a cart. Like, Merry Christmas. Like, I'm not gonna make you wait 2 months and struggle with your AirPods because like, oh no, we got a special occasion. Like, no, you just need them. And then now you don't need a gift underneath the tree. That was your thing. You know?
Oh, that's another thing that Kayla and I are bad at. Like waiting until Christmas morning.
Yeah.
We buy our kids something and we're like, I'm really excited for you to open this. So you want to open it now? And the kids are like, it's the 23rd, Dad. Yeah, I don't care.
Emma just texted me. She's like, don't forget about the panini press. I was about to talk about it. So like, that's the other thing. Like, Emma got me a panini press and like it sat under the tree for a couple hours. And then we used it like 10 times in 1 week. Like, it's great. It's
heck yeah.
My favorite appliances.
It's fantastic.
It makes sandwiches smaller, hence less calories. So it's amazing. Plus, we get to do that. We get to do that stupid, food influencer thing where we scrape the knife over the bread before we cut it. That's the sound. Yes, Dan, that's perfect, dude. It's all about.
I know. I watch a lot of foodies on TikTok for some reason.
We're fat kids, Dan. We get it.
This is accurate. How do you think I learned how to make smoked meatloaf on the smoker TikTok?
The Jointry podcast.
Not the joint.
Oh, smoked. No. I get it.
Different type of smoke. Yeah.
THC ham. All right. So that was our that was our Christmas. It's pretty great. But why don't we, Dan? We want to talk about more what's on the bench. It's been 2 weeks since we've done this.
I actually have a little list of things I want to talk about.
A little?
That's going to be one of my goals that we talk about
later.
We'll
talk about goals.
Is actually preparing.
Whoa.
And being prepared.
Hey, don't.
That's fine. I know. I don't want to give away too much. Yeah.
Dan, why don't you
Play the thing.
I'm going to play the thing. Why would you ever expect me to just not play the thing? I'm definitely.
Well, you sounded like you were going to like forego the thing.
No, I mean, I'm going to play it right now. Like,
what's on my bench?
See, like I was ready, but you just kept interrupting
me. Thank you.
I don't want to cut you off with the audio.
It's all my fault. Got you.
Dan, what is on the bench?
First things first.
Oh, here we go.
We had a little bit of a snowstorm come through the Omaha metro area / the greater area. Christmas Eve, I believe. So I had to rush and get up on top of my roof and clean out my gutters because I've been slacking on that like hard. They were nasty.
Yeah, that's right.
So I got up there with
trees around. You've got trees.
I literally live in a forest. It's called Fontenelle Forest. It's in Bellevue, Nebraska. Look it up. But yeah, my gutters were caked with leaves. So I had to like rush, get up there, use the leaf blower. Dude, if you're not cleaning out your gutters with a leaf blower, what the hell are you even doing?
Oh, some people use a pressure
washer. It is so much easier.
So dumb. Don't do that because you'll water damage.
Leaf blower. Especially a battery-powered leaf blower. Oh my gosh!
Barely so much, leaf newer.
So much easier, right? I don't like that joke. That made me uncomfortable. Right, so yeah, I got up on the roof and I cleaned out the gutters. And another thing about the Midwest is there's like an old saying or like a I don't know what you would call it. I don't know if it's a saying or not, but like a just a little piece of information. If you live in the Midwest and you pay for a roof on your house, you're a bozo because there's always a hailstorm that will get your roof replaced because of insurance. So we bought our house in 2012 and I have been waiting for the hailstorm so I can get a new roof. And it hasn't happened. And I'm up on the roof cleaning out the gutters. And I felt a squishy spot, and I about fell through the roof. And I'm like, oh, God. So one of the things I'm going to have to do this summer is pay for a new roof, and I'm not real happy about it. So Merry Christmas to me.
As someone that's
that sucked.
Paid for a roof, I am Is that what you call it? Rough? Yes. I feel the pain.
Oh, I say that wrong too?
No, you don't say it wrong.
Major and roof.
Roof.
The top on my the house lid.
The house lid. I like that.
Is that what you want
I just got a new house lid and it was expensive.
Yeah, it sucks. In the Midwest, you shouldn't have to pay for a new roof because we get so many storms and thunderstorms and hailstorms and stuff.
I'm still trying to figure out if you're trying to describe insurance fraud on radio or recording.
No. It's all legit.
I'm not.
I mean, if you get a large hailstorm, you shouldn't have to pay for a roof. You get it replaced because of the hail damage. That's what I'm saying.
Also, you say hail, like it keeps sounding like hell damage. Like the hailstorm is hell damage. Beelzebub is going to go up there and just blow your roof off.
So it's been 11 years. Yeah, it's been 11 years. We've had this house, and we haven't had hailstorm big enough
to get
a roof replaced. So I'm gonna have to pay for that, and that's kind of a bummer. And it's not something that I wanted for Christmas, but you know what? That's what being an adult is, right? Having to take care of these stupid responsibilities. And
I mean, roofs sucks. Are usually anyway. like 20 or shingles or more. So like, hopefully, you can get a little more out of it.
Look, I don't want to sound like a douchebag bragger, but like we have a pretty big house. The roof is going to be expensive.
Oh, of course it is.
It's going to be crazy expensive. And not only do we need a new roof, but I think we need new gutters too. The gutters are pretty shot. So I don't know. It sucks. One of the things that we were going to buy for the family for Christmas, because Kayla and I, my wife, we believe in experiences over gifts. One of the things we were going to do
new gutters
as a
for
family
the kids.
Is go on.
Right. Go to Gutter World.
Hey, no, we were gonna book a family cruise, but now like I don't know if that's gonna happen. So it's a real bummer, but like that's life, right? Responsibilities. Anyway, enough about that. Going back to Christmas. My daughter is a giant Taylor Swift fan. I believe they're called Swifties.
You are correct. Yes, we are called Swifties.
So Taylor Swift was nominated Time's Person of the Year, much to a lot of people's chagrin, but she was. And Elena, my daughter, was very excited about it. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I, we actually bought my daughter each magazine. I believe she was on the cover of three different magazines. They made three different versions of the cover. So we bought her all three versions. So I'm going to have to, I promised her that I was going to build her a frame to hold hold the magazines and hang it on the wall. So I guess I have to make good on that. So that's going to be on the bench pretty soon. You know, and I talk about this every week. Etsy is going crazy. I am crazy, crazy, crazy grateful for the success I have found on Etsy. It is a little monotonous, but it does keep the roof, albeit terrible, over our heads for the time being.
Very large roof.
It's so big. I think last year, and I think we're going to talk about this here pretty soon, but last year I made a kind of a goal of wanting to sell more furniture through my Etsy store. And it seems that has kind of come to fruition because I have been selling a bunch of those sea tables. It has been
seems like a loophole.
Quite
okay.
Quite bananas. What do you mean loophole?
No, not a loophole.
You lose me.
Technically it's more furniture. I think you meant it more as like furniture projects, like different types. But
I made a goal of selling more little furniture items through Etsy. I think
it
memory serves me correctly.
You're getting close.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I got you. I got the
okay.
I got the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I know you got a list. But like, I've sold four tables on Etsy since Christmas has been over. So yeah, I need to figure out a way to streamline that process. One of them is actually going to Switzerland, which...
Oh, I thought one of the processes is like for you to go to Switzerland to like figure out how to make Swiss furniture. Yeah, wait, but you're going to? Oh,
I'm going through I'm doing a factory tour of IKEA. It's like a brewery tour, but
we fill the wood with
no, actually,
paper and pack it in light boxes.
So I have so if you're an Etsy seller, you know that like you can make preset like shipping tags, so like you don't have to remake the shipping requirements for every product that you make. And I've been using the same ones over and over because they work, right?
You're talking about shipping
and
profiles.
I
right?
never shipping profiles. Yes. Thank you. Yep. Shipping profiles. I've been using the same ones over and over, and it never really crossed my mind to double check the shipping profile for international. And this is the first time somebody bought one of my tables internationally, and they're only paying $30 shipping. Oof. And that's not enough to go to Switzerland. So I'm kind of like on the fence about, do I cancel this order? Do I just make it and eat the cost? Yeah. And this is the first Pete's hearing of this because like I was pretty embarrassed to talk about this. Yeah. What would you do in this situation, Pete? Would you cancel the order or would you just eat it and send it? Because I'm still going to profit, but not nearly as much as I should.
So having worked in retail many, many years, there's the old adage of customer's always right. Sometimes the customer is an
a-hole. No, it's totally my fault.
But like this is the time that like it's not that the customer is right. It's that like I was in the wrong. The customer is right in this case. They purchased this. They did nothing wrong. I should honor this sale and I should eat the cost. I did the same thing. I shipped something to the UK. Same thing. I didn't check my shipping profile. It was just like windscreens. And it cost me like $60 to ship it. And then they ended up getting their damage. And I had to just straight up tell them like, listen, I apologize. I'll refund your or like most of your thing, whatever minus shipping. Just keep those, whatever. They'll still work. It's just damaged in a corner. If that's okay with you. They were super understanding, but like
Yeah, here's the thing. I send this to Switzerland. It gets damaged or something, and I have to replace it. Then I'm totally
you're
in
totally
the, in
out. The you're, it's a higher negative. Yeah, so it's a higher loss. So I don't think
it's a huge risk.
I think,
but I do want to sell more of these tables in each and every cell of that particular table because it's not a C table. It's one of my other ones. Helps.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I don't think it's unreasonable to reach out and say like, listen, I apologize. Like, this is a listing that we didn't realize we had turned on for international. Just kind of like white lie type thing. Like, we wouldn't be able to afford
because
to
I,
ship this
I did
to you,
a
blah blah blah.
I did a like a fake shipping profile, mm-hmm. not a profile, but I pre-listed what I'm pretty sure the measurements and the weight of the box is going to be.
Yeah.
And it came to like $125 of shipping.
So
and they only paid 30.
I think it's okay to reach out and say, like, listen, we made a mistake. We apologize. Like we just wouldn't be able to ship this for you at a costly, whatever. Like I'm very happy to cancel the order, give you a full refund. If you are adamant about getting this table, I can create a separate listing, like a special order listing that has the proper shipping.
Or just update the profile
update
and
the
say
profile or something.
You can reorder it.
So you can.
That, but man, that seems that feels shady, though, right?
No, it's just being transparent. Be like, listen, I made a mistake. I will lose money to ship this out to you.
I got to put myself in the shoes of the buyer, though. Like, I'm trying to weasel more money out of you is what I'm trying to do. That's what it feels like. But it's not. It's absolutely not. But as a buyer, that's the way I would view that.
Here's the thing, Dan. I've seen you say worse things to customers. No offense. So you being polite and trying to be understanding, like you're worrying about being shiesty, but you've told customers to F off. Wouldn't there have been warranted good reason to, you know?
I've never used the F word.
Well, you've said it polite retail, but I don't think you have to worry about it, man. It's just, listen, sometimes you just got to eat it. There's some customers that you
can't. So you're saying you would refund the money and cancel.
Reach out to them and say like, here's the deal. I apologize, but like we just wouldn't be able to ship it. It's our mistake. The shipping profile shouldn't have been active. Like, we should not be shipping international. I can cancel your order, give you a full refund. If you would like to order it, you can create a custom listing so they can pay the difference in the shipping if they still want it. You can tell them what the shipping difference would be if they still want it. And just be transparent. And if they're like, no, that's ridiculous, this is stupid, you owe me a table, just be like, I apologize, I really can't make this happen, just cancel it. You know, I mean,
I'm going to have to think on this one for a little bit.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to.
It's not an easy decision for me.
If it was something smaller and you have to ship it and it's like, all right, I got to eat $20 to ship it.
Oh, yeah. If it's an insert, I just eat the cost.
And if it gets damaged, then whatever, I'll eat the cost of the whole thing, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
This is a big item.
Yeah. This is a little different. Yeah.
So
moving on today. Today, I found myself, I found this amazing deal on lumber.
Illegal.
So, it's almost illegal. I feel like I'm stealing. So, maybe this will go into a little bit of my decision on if I'm going to send that table to Switzerland or not. So, I found a lumber dealer that's willing to charge me 1/3 the cost of what I've been paying for walnut, which is already cheap compared to where, if Pete were to buy walnut, I'm already like $6 cheaper than what Pete pays for walnut, a board foot. And so, man, I don't want to give away the price. I don't want people to like snake my deal. I think if you average it out, I'm paying like $3.50 a board foot for walnut, 4/4 walnut. That is ridiculous.
Illegal.
And it's good walnut. It's good walnut. I went there. I checked it out. My hopes weren't super high. I was like, there's got to be something wrong with this walnut. It's either not dry or it's absolutely garbage or something. And it's just flawless. I mean, it's...
What's their motivation? For I can't. It? Like, what? Why are they?
They told me that they just had way too much on hand and they needed to get rid of it so they could turn over more or something. And I was like, okay. And so I started like loading up my truck. I'm just loading the hell out of my truck because I don't have a large trailer. And we were loading it so much that like I'm gonna stop when the truck feels like it's sagging too much in the back. And Braden was with me and the manager comes out and he's like, hey, by the way, you don't have to like panic buy all this. I'll honor this price in like perpetuity. I'm like, really? Really, truly, and honestly? And I'm just like shocked.
I'll be back with
my truck is already loaded. My truck is already loaded to the brink. And I'm like, oh my God. Yes.
So Trail
yes.
Boss says what?
Yes.
Like 30 boards. That's it.
No, I had like 500 or 600 bore feet in the back of my Trail Boss. It was ridiculous. So yeah, I'm super stoked because like, that cuts my material costs in like to a third.
Yeah,
a third of what I was paying.
Like I'm paying and like $40.
90% of the stuff,
for walnut.
90% of the stuff that I do is walnut. I mean, people love walnut, and it's averaging out to be like $350 a board foot or less currently. I mean, that's insane.
Bonkers, man. That's crazy.
And I'm not telling you where I'm getting it because it's all mine. It's all mine. And I'll share with Braden and Nick. Brim.
Dunlap Dragon Gold.
So actually, Braden was kind enough to let me store a bunch in his shop because he's got way more room than me. So I'm storing currently like 2/3 of my haul over at Braden's shop. And Nick said that I could bring over stuff to his shop too. But I have this fear, right, that they're not actually my friends and they're just going to sell it on the black market under my nose.
There's definitely going to be a board or six missing afterwards. Like, and you have to accept that as acceptable losses.
No, I totally accept that. Yeah. And I told Braden, I'm like, if you need to use any of this, please. Don't hesitate. So I'm just like, just don't use it all. I'd like to use some. you know, if that's cool.
Brayden, where did it all go? I put in new floors in my shop.
You're never going to believe it. My whole house has walnut floors.
Walnut floors now. You went full Cremona.
Walnut floors, walnut trim, walnut toilet.
Walnut everything.
Last thing I've been doing, even though I don't have time to be doing it, if you're watching the video, I've been making different patches for leather hats because, gosh darn it, it's fun and I like it. Like, and I like my laser and I want to utilize it more. And that'll be something I talk about in our goals portion. That's it. That's my what's on the bench. That's pretty long, right?
That's like a good coffee one, Dan. Long
almost.
That's a
I know, right?
That's a baby paragraph if I ever saw one. And
what are you working on or plan on working on?
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about woodworking, baby. So
please.
Before I get into my what's on a bench, well, I guess it's part of the what's on a bench, you know, because Christmas was last week and as far as I'm concerned, it's still Christmas. My lights are still up.
I mean, it's Christmas until January
7th.
44th.
It is Christmas until December 40th. That's the way I look at it.
Ah, correct.
Yeah. So I got an extra 9 days that way. So one thing I was doing the week before, so we were gone all of last week. We were in Florida visiting family. It was nice, pretty decent weather.
McAllister's.
Little humid down there, but it was fun.
Weird.
It was nice to rest. It's weird to get away from the shop. Also, like the busiest time. And, you know, we talked about this. I always talk about this like work-life balance or shop-life balance, whatever you want to call it. And giving yourself permission to rest. And like, I'm big on mental health. I have a lot of trouble with like giving myself permission to rest and relax and have a good time. And
I have no problem giving myself
because
time to rest. I think that's one of my problems.
Wait, something that maybe Dan listened to podcast. Because I remember the first years, plural, that I was doing all this back from like 2016 through 2019 or later even. Like I was in the shop up until Christmas Eve through Christmas Day at some point and the whole week trying to bang out orders, cutting boards, different random things, tchotchkes, knickknacks that I was promised people by Christmas.
Paddywhacks,
knickknacks, paddywhacks. And it was always a miserable experience. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. One of my fondest memories of Christmas is always like that break in between. And like there's no obligations. Might be a snow day. And like parents are home from work, you're home from school, you just sleep in, play some games, like you relax. There isn't
pajama
stress.
Pants all day.
It's before we had businesses and we were responsible for other
and
human
responsibilities.
Beings. Exactly.
Yes.
And we don't have that. And this is the first year of all the years I've been doing this that I have felt fully in control. I took a week off away from the shop and there was no stress of like I have to have this done, I'm behind or something, blah blah blah. Like this is a planned week. It was a planned week of being away from the shop. This week, I got to get some projects done, but last week was no stress, relaxed. I played video games, hung out with family.
I envy you.
So, like, but this is something that I was mentally having to prepare myself for this since June and July when I was like, Christmas is 6 months away. You have to scream it
right
here.
And we even dedicated an episode to holiday prep.
And one of the big
and things, I took none of that information and worked on it.
Do like, as we say, not as we do.
The holidays crushed me. I'm still trying to unbury myself from all the holiday orders I got.
So just it's ridiculous. You know, there's still time if you can squeeze in some holiday time this week. Hopefully you have an extra day Monday off if you're working a regular job. But try to get some time in with your family or just relax or turn your brain off or tell your wife and kids and or husband or whatever. Just be like, hey, I'm just going to like hang out, just stare at the wall and, or watch some TV for a couple hours or play GTA. Like just, is it cool if I just like have some time to myself or like, can we just like hang out and watch a movie, whatever it might be, whatever your way to relax is, do it. Highly recommend it. This is a time of year. Like, you know, don't kill yourselves. You want to be relaxed. You want to have a good time and you want to start the next year fresh. You want to have some good energy.
Right.
So just, that was a nice little, what's on my bench beginning of like, I actually got to rest a little bit and I'm
good
feeling good for this week. Cause I have a lot to do this weekend, but I'm you know, I got a little bit of rest in there. The other thing I did right before we left is, as we were dressing our tree a couple of weeks ago, I like shouted out all the makers. Like, I have a ton of maker ornaments at this point and growing every year, you know, anything from like the ones we got from, maker camp every year that we powder coat to ones from, Lee and Danielle. One of my favorite humans out there, Austin Albers. He sends me a custom turned ornament every single year. He sent me another beautiful one this year.
He sent me a really nice keychain a couple years ago. I still have it.
Genuinely,
thank you,
one of the
Austin.
Nicest people out there. He sent us like a wedding gift, like a beautiful picture frame that we ended up putting our photo in from the wedding, and it's hanging in my shop. Super lovely guy. Love him. And the pieces he makes are beautiful. But there's Braden sent me. Braden.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick up with Braden about that. He sent Pete an ornament gift, and I got Jack.
To be Flair.
Rick Flair?
Yes. We were on the stoop when I was working on the ice climbing tools one Saturday, and we were on a stoop. He had just gotten his OM Tech laser, and I spent like an hour of that time, went like on and off like throughout the whole night, like helping him with settings, getting stuff dialed in, and we did our first cuts that night. So like he cut his first stuff, and I was like, I helped him out. Like, it's not because of me. He would have figured it out. He's a smart guy. But like, it was nice to be able to help him out. And like, as a thank you, he sent me the first ornament he made on a laser. He might be lying. I don't know. That's what he said in a card. But he sent me the very first ornament that he lasered. And like, it was really nice. And it was like a nice four layer one. It was all glued together. So we really appreciated it. It was just a nice thing. And I think next year I might try to do some kind of like ornament swap or something where I think we maybe start a little thing in early December to
make
see
your ornament swap.
Yeah, like something fun like fun. That. You know, I've been talking about having a tree.
The AWP maker ornament swap. Exactly. I like that, actually. That sounds fun.
Really make it a December to remember event.
happy Honda days.
Happy AWP-a-thon. So I think that'd be a fun thing. You know, this is the first year we got fun custom cards made. With our, you know, cheesy sweaters and not cheesy, just regular sweaters and stuff. And we actually sent
I got a card from you. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. So we sent them to a bunch of makers
so you're not getting jacked, but I appreciate it.
We didn't order enough, though. We should have ordered like a lot, honestly, but we ordered a couple dozen. So we sent some to family. We had like five or six left over. I'm like, makers, let's go. So send them out, which was super nice to do. You know, like we get cards from people sometimes. They'll end up in my P.O. box. I'm like, this is so sweet.
Question.
Yeah.
What do you do with those cards?
We save them. So we have a box.
How long are you supposed to save them?
1 year.
What?
So here's the strategy. Hear me out.
Okay.
So you get a filament box. Oh, you don't 3D print? That's fine. Whatever. You get a box.
I don't.
You take all the cards from the year before, including the envelopes. Save them, right? And Throw them into a box. The next year when you're like, who do I send a card to? Like, just go through them and be like, oh, they sent us a card last year. That was super nice. Yeah, let's reciprocate.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's not. It takes like 5 minutes and you make your wife do it.
you ask your wife to do it and you ask kindly.
Your wife comes up with the idea and she's like, hey, I'm going through the cards from last year. I'm going to send them to the people that sent us ones. I'm like, okay, I love you. You're the best. Thank you. That's what you say. Yeah, huh. So no, Emma was nice enough to go through that stuff, but we always try to save last year's.
We'll get a card in the mail, and we'll all look at it together as a family, and like, oh, that's cute,
yeah,
and then just throw it in the recycle bin.
Whoa,
like what am I supposed to do?
You put it on a fridge or like on a mantle, like get them all or like staple
how
them.
How big of a fridge do you think I have?
I don't know, based on how much you eat.
Oh, you son of a. Well, that's it, folks. AWP is coming to an end. 184.
No, but I mean, like we used to like we had this like archway at our old house. So we used to stick it onto the wall around the archway, so to have all the cards up there. I don't know. Just everyone to each their own.
We don't display them. We just keep them in a pile on the kitchen counter. We're like, oh, look at all these cards we got from people.
It's just a nice heartfelt thing, you know. Just whatever. It's to each their own. You don't have to do it. But I think,
I appreciate the card. I really do.
Glad. I'm glad. I think the ornament swap would be a fun little thing or some kind.
I like the idea of that.
Or like some kind of mini holiday swap thing where people. I don't know. It's just so many maker swaps these days. We got to make sure to coordinate this properly. But anyway, so we got that. I I used the power of the community this year to fulfill my
gift. The power of the community.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I was so busy getting everything ready. And one of the things, I think a brilliant moment, but it was also a little shame. Like, man, I could totally make this, at least part of it, as a gift. Like, so we were doing that Secret Santa, and my brother-in-law was my Secret Santa. And I could have made him something, and I had some
ideas.
Did he
get you a foot bath?
No. So I was his, but he was someone else's, and it was like a whole mix. So I know Lee had just made a ton of hat racks, and he's a hat guy too. He actually wears the heck out of my hat. So I, on like Tuesday before we leave, so we're leaving on Monday, and I was like Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm like, Lee, how many of these, like I call him or Danielle, because like if he doesn't pick up, I just call his wife. And I'm like, how many of these hat racks do you have? He's like, oh, I got these, whatever. I'm like, how many of the walnut ones do you have? He's like, I got four. I'm like, I'll take four. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, just, I'll take four of the walnut ones. Just send them to me. Can you get them to me by this weekend? I would love you forever. He's like, yeah. So like, I could have made something similar, or I could have made a different gift, but I knew like Lee had them, and I love that man so much.
You know somebody in the community who does it.
Yeah, and I'm like, he's going to make a way nicer hat rack than I would. And he's set up for it. And he's already got it made. You know what? I can support him, support his business, and pass along a gift from one of my favorite makers too. So I ordered that from him. And then I hit up Mike from Organic Craft. And I have a lot of friends in a hat making game. You know, like Chance, I know Michael Hurling, I'm loyal because I've been working with Mike for a while now. And he actually gave me this hat. It's got a little aluminum metal patch thing.
I'm intrigued by the aluminum logo.
Yeah, I really like it. It's shiny. It's almost like the holographic thing. So he always treats me so well. He not only did he rush the order, it was out the next morning. I ordered like at 8 p.m. and it was by 9 a.m. I got the tracking. It arrived like 2 days later, and he threw an extra hat in for me. Love that dude so much. So I like support, you know, I buy a hat from any one of the guys. They're all great. I just have been working with Mike at Organic Craft for a while now. So got those two gifts. I ended up immediately, I got six hats and all of them went to gifts. So I sent some to Europe, to my brothers, nice. And my nephews, because they wanted them.
Switzerland?
Denmark, actually, in Poland. And
it's close.
And then one for my brother-in-law. And then my three coworkers, because they're all hat guys too. So I gave them all hat racks and a hat. So it was nice to like be able to like share that. And the thing, you know, I'm leveraging the community. I got to support some people locally, which was super cool. Not locally, sorry. In a community, not local community. But that was fun. It was nice to like, you know, because sometimes like, yeah, we can make this stuff. But sometimes, you know, if you like something from another maker, it's not always about like, hey, I can make that. And if the budget allows for it, maybe, you know, treat yourself. Get something nice from someone else. And support their business at the same time. Just a thought.
Exactly.
People do it to us all the time. They buy our stuff for the holidays or for themselves or whatever. So like, why not pay it forward with other stuff?
Right on.
Yeah. What else? Last thing is I'm super excited about this. We bought a car. I'm no longer a Subaru boy. I am now a Ford guy. And I know the Chevy and GMC guys out there are going to shout, but at least I didn't buy a Kia. Okay. Just don't be.
I'm not gonna judge you for that. But like, do you have to opt out of the Subaru ambassador program now,
I've been kind of out of it for a while. Like, I just stopped. Like,
how does that work?
I stopped re-upping because you do like monthly check-ins. Like, hey, how's this? How many interactions did you have?
Really? Did you really?
It's like a website thing, and it's just like generic. Like, no one ever checked it. I don't know because sometimes I'd be like, I haven't talked to anyone.
Can you be
in
a Ford ambassador now? Is that
maybe?
Is that a thing?
I tagged.
You should
them.
Like we'll ask
Sam, right?
Sam.
She's like, yes. Sam, like Sam, who's your contact? Who's Ford Daddy? Let's go.
Who's Ford Daddy?
Man,
how do I reach Mr. Ford?
So let's talk cars for a second. Let's go, because I know you love your
channel. Yeah, let's do that. I like talking about cars.
Because there was opinions. Like a lot of
opinions. Oh my gosh. The opinions people have about cars is ridiculous.
Oh man, I could not even count how many people told me that I need to get a truck. That I should be getting a truck.
I mean,
why am I wasting my
time? Yeah, that was my recommendation as well, just because of what we do. But like, you know, bottom line is you need to be happy and comfortable.
Yeah. So our main concerns for the car were it needs to be extremely comfortable for long rides. So like, I really wanted comfort. I don't want to be, a lot of these cars are like narrower, so you're kind of squished or whatever.
Right.
And, so I wanted that, and I wanted tow hitch have to be on there, and it has to be set for 5,000 pound tow capacity or more. That was our two things, because I want to, for now, I'm going to keep this trailer that I have, but I want to upgrade to a 5x10, a true 5x10, so I can get like 4x8 sheets in there. Something that actually is 6 feet tall. I can walk in there because I'm a short boy. 5'10, let's go. So 5'10 and a half. So I want to be able to like walk in there, maybe like one of those like landscaping type, like flap down, whatever.
Right.
Lift gate things.
Where you could drive a lawnmower in there if you wanted to. Yeah,
not that I need to, but just like a trailer that I'm going to buy and have for the next 20 years and not like just do maintenance on it. And maybe one with like a side door on it. Michael Herling actually just bought a new one. He got it in South Carolina and they shipped it up to him for like $6,000. And it was a 6x12 trailer, brand new, beautiful. I'm like, damn, I need to get that. So anyways, wanted something with towing, and we ended up getting the Ford Explorer, the XLT, and it is the most comfortable car I have been in a long time. And I'm like, I was not even like considering this car until actually Nick Pachi at Maker Camp, he was driving one. It was Becca's car. And he's like, yeah, dude, it's like, it's great. You should look at it. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll look at it. Fell in love with it. We test drove it, and they have like an inline four with a EcoBoost and then a twin turbo six cylinder. I'm like, okay. So we test drove a car, and it was so like aggressive, had so much torque.
The power that the modern four cylinder engines have is bonkers.
So that's the thing. I thought we had test drove the twin turbo, and and the guy was like, no, that's the XLT. That's the four inline four. I'm like, what? Like it actually slams you into your seat. So I would, cause we tried some other cars. We got the like Toyota Highlander or whatever. And it was like driving a golf cart compared to this car. And like, this will give me confidence to tow a big trailer behind me that's heavy because it actually has some torque to pull. So blown away. The other thing is third row is built in and got ton of room in the back. So when I'm bringing your butts to Maker Camp, we actually have room for all the crap in the back.
I'm looking forward to it.
And a third row currently, in case we got to throw Emma back there. And
or if I want to go on the third row and just sleep.
Sleep, exactly.
Yeah, boy.
And then it's got like bougie things, like a heated steering wheel, which I didn't like.
Do you got the big giant panorama sunroof?
Dual sunroof. Super nice. Again,
yeah.
Need it, but it's awesome.
Right.
Tons of like random storage.
That's the
back.
One thing I wish I had in my truck, the big sunroof.
And what's the other? There was some.
I like sunroofs.
So again, our car is like, my car was 8 years old. Emma's is like 6 or 7 years old. So we don't have like the newest technology in our cars, but like CarPlay is really nice. The other thing is.
Oh, CarPlay is so nice.
Remote start built in.
Also so nice.
And also with the app. So I'm like, oh God, this is like, I'm living in the future. This is amazing.
Right.
But this thing is going to be so comfortable to drive down to Tennessee and then Alabama,
Workbench
and then
Con.
Georgia, because we're doing a whole tour again for Workbench Con.
Yeah.
So,
and that's coming up real quick.
Dude, two months, not even less than 2 months.
Hey, you bought that car at the perfect time. You know, you should always, if you're going to buy a car, if you can wait till the very end of the year.
Yep.
To buy a car, that's the best time you're going to get a deal. I mean, you did it right.
So we got about $3,500 off that car, which is not bad. You know,
not bad in the current like vehicle market. I know it, like it was worse
like a year ago.
I want to say like in 2021 or 2022 when vehicles were kind of scarce
paying
and
over
people were
MSRP,
like,
right?
Paying over MSRP and in a line waiting to get a car. It's just like insane, but like good work. I'm happy for you.
So
I know it's a big payment, but like,
so here,
you know, you're a grown-up,
you know, now. We're gonna talk about this on the goals part of it, but actually let me just dive into it real quick now. So getting a new vehicle was something like a wish list thing for in the future. When the last year started, I didn't even think like we could afford a new car for a long time. I was like, I'm just going to have to suck it up with this car for the next like 2-3 whatever years. And like, we had a good year. It wasn't anything outstanding or whatever, but like, you know, we often talk about like, you know, like Dan is doing this full time. This is his salary. This is what he needs to do to pay, like feed his family. I'm what a lot of our audience is, like the guy that like has a full-time job, can't quit or doesn't want to quit or likes it or whatever. It doesn't matter. Works a full-time job and then has a hobby or a small business on the side. And like, I want to go full-time eventually, but I'm not in like a crazy rush to do it, but I'm able to use my business to afford things that I would not be able to just
supplement
like,
your lifestyle.
Supplement your lifestyle. Exactly. And like, you know, it's like the survive and thrive a little bit. Like we're able to survive with our salary at the regular job and then thrive with the extra money that we're making with the business. And we're working our butts off, but like we're able to, you know, this car, I almost wept when I saw that I was looking at $50,000 vehicles with what my needs were, which like when you look at 5,000 pound towing capacity and like more comfort, like you just like this next tier up. And it's ridiculous. No one in my family's ever owned a vehicle this expensive. And luckily with our trade,
the price of cars these days,
it's
just
bonkers. And like insane. At the end of the day, you know, like our payment ends up being like, I'll share, like it's going to be right around $600. And like, that's a lot.
Which isn't awful.
That's the biggest.
It's not awful
for
though.
Me. It's like, that's the biggest payment I've ever had. My car used to be like three something until I paid it off. So we haven't had a payment in like years. And, but the nice thing is like, we've looked at our budget, we've looked at everything and what the business is bringing in monthly or on average throughout the year, that 600 is covered every month, you know,
that's good.
Along with some other stuff. Now, granted we need to keep growing. Cause that's obviously there's not going to be a lot of profit if we're just eating it up with other stuff. But if, you know, you're good at business, then like technically you don't want too much left at the end of the year, you know?
Right.
You know,
right. So it's, you got to play that.
You got to have just enough profit. But it was really nice to be able to like look at our life and with Emma coming on and all this stuff. And I'll get into this in a little bit more with the goals. But like we were able to afford this and it's mind blowing and it's extremely humbling. And I feel so blessed to be able to like be able to afford this car. So like know that I'm not like, yeah, I got this car. I'm like bragging. Like, no, we worked our butts off for this thing and I am so happy we were able to do it. Anyways,
good.
End of that.
Good for you. I'm happy for you. But I really am, truly.
Why don't we get into, do you want to do goals? And I'll play Jake's question, yeah, I guess. And then we'll get into the other questions. So let's start with Jake's question.
Yeah, play Jake's question because it really does play into this. So, yeah.
So Jake is from Florida, and please don't hold it against him.
Florida man.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jake from A Sweet Shop. And wanted to call in and ask kind of a two-part question. I know, Dan, you don't like goals. So I'm going to rephrase it. What are your aspirations for this year? And
I think that's a better word.
What I would like to hear from you guys is, once again, kind of a two-part thing. What is a big overall goal for your shop, your business, that sort of thing? It's going to be a big monetary goal for later on this year or next year. And then also, what is a small goal? You know, something that you can be working on as time goes on, not a huge monetary thing, whether it be organization, you know, whatever, in your shop. So, like I said, be interested to hear what your guys' thoughts are and hope you guys had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thanks, guys.
I love that, dude.
Well, Jake, I love him too. Thanks for calling in, buddy. And I'm going to shock you a little bit because I actually have been writing down goals that I want to accomplish in 2024.
Dan, I'm going to rudely cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
Shut your meatloaf hole and let me read you last year's goals. So before I read these goals, and this is not going to be so much.
Okay.
Dan actually hit a lot of his goals. What he said is funny, but I didn't actually. And I just want to stress that the goals didn't change, the timeline does. So like anytime, like if you ever don't hit a goal, it's fine. The goal didn't change. Just the finish line moved a little bit.
You know, got, see, that's what, time. when we had Kamani on, that's what got me thinking about writing down a list of, like, quote-unquote goals or aspirations.
Also, me saying it for 4 years did nothing. Kamani, one episode. And, oh, yeah,
no, it didn't. It did nothing for me. But when we had Kamani on, somebody, I think maybe Tomah, asked Kamani about his goals. And his apparently, Kamani made a list, and we started talking about it. And I was like, huh, I should really write a list.
So,
anyways, go on.
So let me read Dan's... this is from last year, from the same episode that we did last year. And it's, Dan, I don't make goals. End quote. And then he goes, but I want to grow my Etsy shop, which I think you did, and focus a little more on flat pack and breakdown furniture. Bring in
Didn't do that, but
similar.
Yeah. I'll get into it.
So that was the furniture part you were talking about. Bringing on a full-time employee and perhaps expanding into a new space somewhere.
Ugh,
so again, gosh, again, the goals didn't change, right?
It's just the timeline.
The timeline is changing,
right?
But,
I wanted to do flat pack furniture, but man, the more I think about it on Etsy and the some of the nonsense I have to deal with on Etsy through messages and stuff, I don't trust people to put stuff together and not bug me about it. And that's a real time killer. It really is, having to field messages and stuff. I mean, if you have a dedicated team to field messages and deal with that type of customer service, I think like Jonathan Katz-Moses does, that'd be fine. But I'm just one guy currently, so I don't want to have to deal with that. So I've been sending stuff out fully assembled. But I have been selling more furniture.
Dan, so I do want you to – so let's go through that list. But anywhere you felt you didn't succeed, I want you to tell what maybe took priority in place of that. So, like, you didn't do the breakdown furniture, but, like, you've been doing a lot of shipped furniture.
I have been.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm grateful. I also mentioned that I wanted a full-time employee.
Also, go back to the whole, like, grow your Etsy shop, man. You freaking killed it this year. So, you hit that goal pretty hard.
I don't know if I think I may have mentioned last year what I had on revenue for Etsy.
You doubled, right?
I had $50,000 revenue for 2022, and I was stoked about that. I was crazy excited about it. I mean, $50,000 in revenue isn't a whole lot when you consider the fact that you got to, you know, that's the number you see before you factor in, you know, material costs and all that other stuff. But it's still a really fun number, right? And yeah. It's very uplifting, and it makes you feel good. And I think my goal, I don't know if I ever – I think I probably told you and Mike, you know, I'd like to hit 100,000, you know, why not double it? And I'm happy to say that I almost achieved that. I got really close. I realize there's a few days left in 2023, but – I'm really happy with the number that I saw. And once again, that doesn't include material costs, shipping costs, and all that other stuff, you know, that, you know, but it's still cool to see that revenue number go up. I'm very happy with that. And, you know, as far as goals go, and I've talked about this briefly a few times. I would not love to. I'm going to.
Oh, nice.
Start a Shopify shop and potentially TikTok shop, even though we just got done bashing it a little bit. I think we talked about it in the pre-show. I don't think we've talked about it here, but yeah, definitely Shopify at least. And my own website. I mean, I really should like lean into that. I mean, that with my own website, I don't have to worry about the fees of Etsy or Shopify.
Yep.
You know, the only thing I really have to worry about is the material costs and the shipping costs, which is a little bit easier of a pill to swallow. So I need to expand a little bit. You know, if I'm really going to grow this and if I ever really want to get into a bigger space and have a full-time employee or anything like that, I'm going to need to diversify and expand a little bit. So I hit my goal there, and I'm very proud. Remind me what else I said.
Flatback furniture, breakdown furniture, bring on a full-time employee.
Right. I tried that briefly. I think I jumped the gun too soon. What the driving factor of that. So like if you go back and listen to some of the episodes early in the summer or spring, I had Isaiah with me and we'd worked out a deal. I was paying him, but I was also making a pretty good monthly income through Facebook's
creator program,
their thing. Reels program. And then they just like pulled it out from under me. I mean, that was an extra $4,000 a month I was making
over
on Facebook. It was significant. And I thought it was a great opportunity to turn that money into, you know, more shop help. And then they just pulled it out and like I couldn't sustain it. As much as I tried to figure out a way to do it, it didn't make any sense. I was barely scraping by profit-wise while still being able to pay him. And it didn't make financial sense. And it sucked that I had to tell him that, you know, I can't continue to do this.
Now, if you stay as busy as you are right now, do you find yourself like you think you will be looking for some help?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm in this weird space right now, this weird middle ground where I'm doing very good as a sole shop owner and shop worker. But as soon as I take on an employee, that's a huge cut, right? I mean, if you want to pay somebody a livable wage, we're talking $20 to $25 an hour because it's a skilled job. I don't want somebody who's just, I'm going to have to babysit the whole time. That makes no sense, right?
Yep.
You know, that's, what is that a month? It's like $3,000, $4,000 a month.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, that takes full time. Absolutely.
Yeah, that takes a huge hit in your profits, and it doesn't make a whole lot of financial sense unless you're bringing in a whole lot more revenue than I am right now. But yeah, it's something that I think is attainable, but you know, I need to figure out a way to get out of this weird, like little black hole of like finances that I'm in right now. I don't know how to explain it. There's like this curve of going up. And there's this really weird spot, like right in the middle. Like you're doing so well, but as soon as you start paying somebody else, you take a big hit, and it's like, okay, is this really worth it? I'm not making as much. What kind of risk am I willing to take? What kind of a cut am I willing to take? So I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. And if letting somebody go is not somebody I want to deal with again.
Hard too.
So it's a bit of a scary thing. That made me feel like a real giant piece of garbage. I'm going to be honest. I did not like that feeling at all. So well, I'm gonna definitely approach that with caution when and if that moment arises again.
He's on a beach somewhere surfing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's doing well. He's doing very well.
He moved back to Hawaii. He's living heavenly place.
He moved back to Hawaii. He's doing very well. Yeah. He's living life pretty good.
Well, but your last thing was expanding into a new space, which you were actually pursuing for a while.
I was. Man, the real estate market is just, it's bonkers right now, and it's not making anything easier. Again, it's the same with an employee. I'm doing well. But as soon as I start taking away that profit to, and I realize you got to do that to expand. You have to do that to expand. You have to be willing to make that leap. And it's tough. It's tough. I'm not going to bullcrap you. And the real estate market right now is crazy. And spaces for lease currently in the Omaha area are just bonkers. Like I looked at a few spaces and the money that they want for them for the space that I want is like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month. And if I'm going to expand, I'm not going to get a tiny space. I want space, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the point? what's the point of moving out of my garage into another space that's another, just barely bigger than what I currently have?
Yeah, two-car garage, basically.
Right? It makes no sense. No, so I totally get it. I don't know. It's a really tough spot.
You got to really make spot. It, like, it's got to be worth it.
Yeah, it absolutely has to be worth it. And, you know, I realize that, you know, I'm not going to be profiting as much, but it has to, there has to be a good balance there. And it's been tough to find. But I think as far as 2023 goes, I did well. I'm not ashamed of it.
I think you did great.
I think I did pretty well. Let's recap you. Enough about me.
Well, I guess we'll do our 2024 goals after. We'll talk about it after that. So, all right. So mine was, Pete's was grow the business more. Very vague. Nice. Good job, Peter. Structure my days as if it's a full-time job. Incorporate Emma into the business more. Start to work on the shop on the property. Lean into YouTube. And it says hot 5,000 subs. I think have 5,000 subs. And
No. Hot. I think you meant hot.
Yeah, hot 5,000 subs and replace my income. So very ambitious goals there. So
super ambitious, but there's nothing wrong with that.
So here's the thing. Grow my business more. That definitely happened. A lot happened.
Yeah.
We doubled our staff this year. You could say.
You're already one up on me.
Yeah. So, yeah, right.
And you didn't even have to let her go. So, hey.
No.
Win.
So, you know, let's.
That'd be an awkward conversation if you had to fire your wife.
Yeah. Let's start with the big one, which is incorporate Emma into the business more. Not only was I able to incorporate Emma into the business, we were able to essentially retire her. We keep joking around like, oh, retire her. But like if at the end of the day, Emma did zero work, did nothing, completely nothing, between what I do with the business and my day job. And I don't make like a ton of money. I just like, we're frugal. We're good with our money. Like I'm able to have my wife just be at home and like enjoy life. Now, she's not like that. She needs to be doing stuff. She's like me. She's always like trying to do the next thing. And her business is doing well. She is doing like events makeup now too. She's a beauty consultant. And she does a lot of admin work for me, like a ton. Not only that, she's actually been helping with the podcast, locking down deals and things like that. So like
she has been. She's been integral.
So it's been incredible.
To AWP lately.
And we, you know, I took you guys through this whole journey. If you've been listening to the last couple of months, you know, I talked about like the panic the first couple of months when she came on full time, quote unquote. And like, of like, hey, there's two of us, we're not making double money. What's happening? We're going to make it, you know? And now it's like, oh, like we're finding money in the world constantly. Like it's just, that's what business ownership is. It's like you're every month you're like, I owe this much. I got to make this much money. And then suddenly at the end of the month, you're like, where did this money come from? Okay. Like, I guess I did the work, you know, so
I'm ahead somehow.
Like, that's crazy. So we were able to incorporate Emma into the business. It's growing in fields that I was not. So like, that's going back to the grow your business more. We're growing in fields that I was not expecting to grow, or like, you know, you kind of want to grow everywhere, but like we're focusing on certain things that are doing really well. You know, Dan, you shared your Etsy numbers and I looked mine up. Last year I cleared 30K on Etsy. This year I cleared 21K, which, if my calculations are correct, it's less on Etsy. However, we've done more business this year. A lot of our business was word of mouth, you know, B2B, business to business, or bulk orders or local stuff. So like we shifted a lot of our business to be kind of more like direct face to face and not just through Etsy. Also, we've done stuff through TikTok shop. We've done stuff through Shopify, not a ton, but like, it's not like, you know, you get to see, we see that Etsy number every day, man. We look at it, you know, what it's like.
Right.
You see that number, you see that weekly payout and everything. And like, you freak out when you don't hit a certain number for that week or that month or something, but like the money's still there. It's just coming in different forms in different locations. So it's been eye opening to see that like, wow, there's like, now there's brand deals coming in, for certain things. So now there's this big contract with this person, or like now we have this holiday market. We made like way more than we thought we were going to sell, you know, then like holidays came and like we sold a ton of product between ornaments and cutting boards, whatever, like that made our month. That's like made what our Etsy would make, you know? So you start finding money in different locations. So I think the business has definitely grown. And it's surprising to see where the money is coming from now. So like, it's giving us more ideas. I'm like, oh, we don't need to just pour all of our money into, or all of our time into Etsy. We can maintain Etsy, keep adding to it, but there's other things we can bring money in with, which is super exciting. The other one was, structure my days, as if it's a full-time job and, you know, and then it was incorporate Emma in there. So we have been kind of working on more of a schedule. We have meetings now, like a couple times a week.
Do we'll sit have down. Company meetings in the morning?
We like sit down and actually like, okay, what do we need to tackle today? What do you need me to do for you? Like what can I take off your plate or me take off her plate? Or like you work on that, you go pack orders, I'll make dinner or something. Like we're really working as a team and it's been really nice. And we kind of have a structure.
I was envisioning you guys like in a conference room together, just the two of you, like maybe at the table or whatever, but like still you're going, God damn it, Kabar, I need you to step it up.
Their quarter numbers are in and they're not great. So it's been, you know, it's still challenging. We're still trying to figure out our flow and like, sometimes when I work nights, it like throws off the schedule, but we've also been trying to be good to like I do not make Emma work on stuff past like 8 o'clock. Like, not that we're like working all day, but like we work throughout the day, but like after 8 o'clock, it's like, there's no like business BS that happens. It's just like you rest, you relax.
It's good to have a cutoff time though. Yeah, you have to have that to keep your mental stability.
I try to do that as well, but I just can't get out of the shop sometimes until like super late at night. So it is what it is. As far as like start work on the shop, like we're just kind of more into still like we're trying to figure out the finances for it. We're really building a business. And once it makes financial sense to like break ground on the shop, we're going to do it. But for now, we're still holding off on it. It's still, you know, it's 3 years. We got 3 years for it. My 5-year goal. As far as leaning into YouTube, bomb that one. But we were focused a lot on other parts of the business and bringing on Emma and like having her work and stuff. But like that's something we both really want to do. We really want to lean into it. So we're going to be hopefully leaning into YouTube a little more. So I still got to figure out my whole editing thing. I think I need to just bite the bullet and hand off the work or just suck it up and do the work, you know? So, and as far as replace my income, like I'm not there yet where I'm replacing my income, but damn, I'm getting close. Every year I'm getting closer to that. And it feels really good. It's like, you know, nothing wrong with making double.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's a nice feeling.
But still got to get to that. So, Dan, you want to talk about your goals for 2024 then?
Yeah. Shockingly enough, I actually, like I said, I have been writing down things that I want to accomplish in 2024 because mm-hmm. I know that the long running joke on the podcast is that Dan doesn't make goals. But like ever since we had Kamani on, he talked about having a list and I was just like, why don't I have a list? I should have a list. It's kind of silly not to have goals and say that every year. It's like a cop out. So number one on my list is get back to actual woodworking. I feel like I've lost my way a little bit there because my life has been taken over by inserts and bow ties and Etsy. Because every week when we do What's on Your Bench, I'm talking about Etsy. And granted, I'm grateful. I'm insanely grateful for my Etsy quote-unquote success. But like, I miss just making stuff to make stuff. So I want to get back to woodworking. And so I walked around the house and I was looking for stuff to make. And I want to – we absolutely need a bigger media console. I built a really nice media console several years ago when we had a smaller TV.
So tiny.
And it's a beautiful media console. If you were so inclined, you can go back into my Instagram and find it. But we now have a much larger TV, and it looks really awkward with that TV and all the devices we have on it now. So we need a bigger one. And heck, I want to make one. It's what I do. And speaking of that, I want to make some new bedroom nightstands for our master bedroom. I think that we deserve that. Because frankly, what we're using up right there right now is a couple of TV trays on either side of the bed. It's awful. Have you ever heard the saying, the cobbler's children have no shoes?
Yeah.
It's basically the woodworker's family has no nice furniture because he's making stuff for everybody else. So I wanna make some nice nightstands for the bedroom. I think that's it as far as woodworking. Oh no, actually, I do want to build a shed.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I've talked about this.
Just watch Brad's video. He did it.
Who? Brad?
Yeah.
Brad. Never heard of him.
He's on the Sex in the City.
listen to the pre-show. Yeah. So I've been doing some studying of the...
Oh, it's sex, like, sex this city that. That's what it is. Right, is that a code phrase? Yeah. You don't know what we're talking about. It's just a pre-show joke. We're going to start making up fake news and that Brad Rodriguez is on a Sex in a City.
All right, before I go on, that's your secret
code
phrase.
That's the secret code phrase. If you want to win a Workbench Con ticket, sex this, city that.
Send that to awpgiveaway@gmail.com. Get yourself entered for a chance to win a ticket to Workbench Con.
this week on Sex This, okay. City That, we're building a shed for Big.
So... I've been looking over the city codes because I do live in a
city,
and I got to follow their stupid rules. As long as I keep the shed under a certain size, I don't need a permit. So that should be attainable.
I'm going to put down.
And I absolutely need it. I need more space outside of my shop so I can put yard work equipment out there. Yard work
landscaping
all
couch.
My lawn chairs and possibly, you know, extra lumber because I found a new place to buy cheap lumber. I also want to reorganize my shop for better flow. I don't feel like it's super efficient right now because my shop has just grown as I've gotten tools, and as I get tools, I just place them where there's an open space. So it's not the most efficient setup in the world. Things are just in a place because I had a space for them at the time. So I'd like to be able to reorganize that and get a better flow and maybe help facilitate faster product movement, you know. So I think that needs to happen pretty soon. And like I talked about, I also want to do a Shopify and a TikTok shop. But I also want to list more digital files. I have hundreds, literally hundreds of digital files that I could sell. And that is passive income. Mm-hmm. Because people can buy it, download it, and I never have to unless they buy a digital file for an insert. And they're like, hey, where's my insert? How come it never arrived? In theory, it should be passive income. So I just feel like I'm sitting on money that's not, you know, it's not doing anything for me. So let's see. Ooh, I really want to learn Shaper 3D. That is a very awesome 3D modeling software, and I feel like it's going to be the easiest thing for me to learn. I know Fusion 360 has a lot of fans and followers, and I feel like there's more there than Shaper 3D, and I just feel like it would be more intuitive for me to learn that. Because I do want to do more 3D modeling. Like, not only do I want to do some 3D carves and stuff with my CNC, but I think that would be a pretty good, cool resource to 3D model some like projects and offer plans, because people always want to buy plans. And that's another income stream, which I'm all about. And as far as learning software, I'd like to learn Lightburn now that I have a laser. I almost forgot the word. Now that I have a laser, you know, I think it'd be beneficial to learn Lightburn, and I don't think that would be that hard. I feel like it's probably fairly similar to, you know, VCarve and Aspire that we already use for our CNCs. I'm sure there are some differences and some.
You'll love it once you get the hang of it. I told you, man. I'm down.
I feel like it's pretty easy.
I'm down to teach you anytime you want.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, setting aside time to do it, really. And obviously, last but maybe not least, get back into YouTube, like Pete said. Excuse me. You know, it just again, that's another income stream that I'm not tapping it. And if I'm going to make this work and expand, I probably should get my toes in every income stream that I can. So that way I can expand the other side of my business that we talked about before, the Etsy and the products and stuff. So that's it. That's my list. What do you think of that? I have goals. I have actual goals this year.
That list sucks. It sucks.
What about you? What do you got?
That's a good list, Dan. That's a like you showed me from last year. Damn, that is a real list.
It's something. I don't know if I'll attain everything, but you know, hey, it's at least it's a jumping off point, right?
Yeah. did your eyes just? Oh, that's weird. Sorry, the camera did a flash. Okay, so no. Sorry, I was just like turning my list into sentences because I'm writing the show notes as you're talking. So my main thing is I need a change in my life. Many of us need a change in our life, honestly. And that is, you know, I have no routine. I need a routine in my life. My routine right now is, you know, I wake up, I start working, and then like I just do work stuff. And whether it's busy or slow, whatever, I don't start doing my own stuff until like lunch hits. Around noon or 1 o'clock, whenever I get to go on lunch. And like, that's when I start working on maybe some other stuff. So I'm like answering calls for work or dealing with stuff and maybe like packing some orders or like start planning out what I'm going to do that night or like telling Emma what I need to work on and whatnot. And like losing a lot of productive hours in the morning. Not that I need to be work. Obviously I can't work two jobs at the same time, but like I can at least like have some things that maybe get up before work and I can just tackle, do a quick workout, do something else. One of the other things is get in shape.
I didn't even put that on my list. Priorities.
I put on weight this year. I don't like it. I don't feel good.
Same.
Same. I get winded. My print shop's in a basement, and then workshop is on the first floor in a garage, and then on the second floor is my office. If I go from the basement to my office and I hop on a call or something, I'm winded. I'm fat. I'm getting fat. Okay. I'm like.
I was getting winded eating meatloaf.
Yeah, I mean, you should never get winded eating food, and that's happened to me, and that's how I know I'm getting fat. So, you know, we jokingly were like at Maker Camp, like, yeah, we're all gonna lose like 50 pounds each to workbench con. Like, that's not even close, guys. We're effing up. If you're listening to this, if you're one of those people that like, guys, we all need to be a little healthier. We work way too damn hard. And we don't give ourselves time to rest. We don't give ourselves time to be healthy. We eat for fuel and out of convenience, and it's usually not good food. Let's be real. I eat a ton of junk food. I eat what's handy, and I eat what is quick.
Meatloaf tasted good.
I know. But so like that's just me. I'm not attacking anyone, but I've gotten out of shape, and I think I need a little bit more routine in my life. I am blanking on the guy's name, but this guy. Tim, was it Cisnero? Whatever, I forget his last name. I'll look it up after when Dan's talking. This guy has a routine that I follow on TikTok. He wakes up at 4 a.m. every morning, and he's got the exact same routine every single day. And his life is so structured. He does a TikTok every single day, and he takes you through his life and how it's just like now that I'm going to be getting up at 4, no freaking way. But like,
no.
I want to be able to get up at like,
go to bed at 4,
get up at 7 for work at 8 and not get up at 7:40 for work at 8 and like barely.
Well, when you work at home,
I know, but still like, you know, get up, actually shower or do a workout and whatever, make breakfast, make coffee and then like start my day, like fully awake. Just start, you know, plan out my day and be like, hey, Em, like I'm going to be busy with like the next couple hours of work. Can you handle this, this, this? We need to. Is going back to last year's goal, like start running my day to day like it's a business, because it really is. Like it's getting to be like our life is a business now more than ever. So we need to get on top of this poop, okay? On top of this. So there you go.
There it is.
So that's big. I think establishing a routine is going to help me get healthier, get me more on top of my business, get more focused on things, because that is not happening right now. Just want to be healthy, you know, that's it. Aside from that, I need to expand my 3D printing business. I was the 3D printing guy for like the longest time. And now I'm like, I'm just like one of the guys that has a 3D printer.
That's because all those fancy new machines came out and everybody like, they're like, ha ha, yeah. I can do it too.
Exactly. So like, you know, the problem is like, I let my 3D printing business lapse. Like it keeps bringing in its income. So like I'm doing okay, but like, it's not doing as well as it was last year. It was doubling every single year. Now I went negative, you know? And like, granted,
you didn't go negative. I made less.
Yes.
Yeah.
And granted, a lot of my business shifted to like laser cut stuff because that's where predominantly like I've been focusing this last year, and it's brought me a lot of business on a laser. Like that laser definitely paid off at this point, more than paid off. So, that's nice, but I'm letting something else lapse. And granted, Etsy and the 3D printing, like it's kind of self-run in a way, like, you know, just throw stuff up and it sells, but we need to focus a little more on that. Also need to focus on content a little more. Like the last 2 months I've posted 3 videos, I think. You know, it's just been busy. It's a busy time of the year. So I haven't really been making content. Right. I was really enjoying doing those voiceover pieces and like, you know, kind of like really having fun with it. Just haven't had time. Or I've just been burned out from it. So I've just kind of been taking a break. But I want to expand a 3D printing business. I'm kind of running out of room in that space. I'm physically blowing out a wall. Not blowing. It's just like a faux wall set up for that one room. So I'm going to expand that space, get a little more comfortable in there, start focusing on doing some work in there. I might even be moving my office to the basement just to have it all in one spot. So trying to grow that part of the business and have it be a little more self-sustainable because Emma's helping me out a lot with it. And she's getting to the point where like, I don't have to watch every part of it. So that's good, but we got to grow it. The other thing is I often, you know, I do the content and then I get annoyed. Like, I just want to do a fun thing for me. And like, I'll do a cool project or something fun or something really funky and weird. I'm like, well, there's no video in this. Like, it's just like me doing stupid crap, you know, whatever, or building this thing or fixing this issue. And then I'm like, people make content on everything, Peter. Get your butt out of your head. Yeah, get your butt out of your head. You know, so like, I want to document more of the fun stuff. I want to stop overthinking every
I want
project.
You to document getting your butt out of your head.
Head out of my butt. That's what I meant. But I want to start documenting more of the fun stuff. The stuff that I always tell myself, like, this is a reward. I don't have to film any of this. Let me just have fun and do this project.
It's like a reward.
It's like a reward. So maybe document less of the, like, the things that I won't think everyone wants to see. And just start doing crap that I want to do. You know, start doing more fun things. Start doing weird things outside. Like, I want to do, like, really fun, weird projects. Something that's actually going to make me think. Not something that's just, like, whatever.
Right.
You know?
And that's kind of why I want to get back to woodworking too, not just because I miss it, but like
problem solve.
My content has been lacking and it just feels like I'm missing something in my life.
Yeah. So I think that would be, it would make all this a lot more fun. And I think I would be a lot more engaged in the content itself because I'd be like, all right, I really care about this thing. This was really fun to do or frustrating or whatever. Right. Obviously grow YouTube with that, you know, hopefully you actually do some videos. I'd love to have like 5 videos by the end of next year. That'd be awesome. But who knows? And then the last two things are lock down more sponsors. Like I actually try to get more sponsor deals for this year. And the other thing is grow the podcast. You know, like there's a lot that we need to do with this podcast to kind of grow it.
I wanted to make that its own segment. I'm like, the podcast itself should have goals. So
yeah, I mean it's
continue.
It's we need to grow. We do need to get more sponsors. We've been kind of lackluster with that. We want to keep bringing you guys great guests, and you know, eventually maybe we'll look at even like adding a host or something. But right now, Dan and I are very happy just being the two of us. We've gotten some great you know suggestions from people, and we've had some good vibes with people that we've approached. Like, hey, if we end up doing like, would you be interested? And some people will be like, hey, this guest was great. You guys should have them as the third host, and like. We really just want to keep it going, the two of us. I think we have a good dynamic. We fill an hour and a half over of talking. You know, you guys somehow listen to us.
I mean, we're 100. We're an hour and 40 minutes into
this. We should start cutting the episodes back. Maybe more people will listen. But we want to keep this going. We want to keep it consistent. And we want to, you know, grow our Patreon group. And the more we're able to make with this, the more we're able to give back to and do more. So that's kind of one of our goals too. You know, this isn't like some cash cow for us. It's like
100%.
We're able to do more events. Maybe
this is absolutely not a cash cow.
We'll be able to do a giveaway, from AWP or something. So growing a podcast is going to be big because this is a big part of what I do. This eats up a lot of hours for me and Dan every single week. And you know, we want to make sure that, like, you guys are getting something out of this too, hopefully. So, you know, next year, top 4% podcasts.
Right on. Goals.
That's my goal.
I would like to take the podcast to where, like, we could, and this sounds a little selfish, but, like, I would love to be able to use the podcast to, like, travel and do maker meetups and hang out with people throughout the country, not just at Maker Camp, just at WorkBenchCon. I mean,
AWP, you know, there, maker we have, meetup, Kansas City.
Yeah, we have people that listen to us on the West Coast and all over Middle America, all over the Southeast, the Northeast, Kuala Lumpur. I would love to go.
That would be
maybe not Kuala Lumpur.
AWP goes Canadian, you know.
I think that would be fun, you know.
Absolutely.
And then maybe do like live recordings there too. I know other podcasts have done that, and I think that would be fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of goals that we have, and we want to try to do all that stuff this year. That's a lot.
Right. And Braden was giving me crap about this, and he's like, maybe put some more merch on your Etsy store for the podcast. You guys have one. And I was like, yeah, we got one. He goes, you know, it's not that hard to do that, right? And I'm like, yeah, but it's...
Honestly, Dan,
it's time consuming.
Here's the thing. If we get off of our asses, both of us,
right,
and do some damn YouTube videos a couple a year or more, like, we would have a bigger following, which means we would have more people listening. So,
it's our fault.
We're our worst critics. Like, I know what the problem is.
I know. I'm 100% in
agree. We only have so much bandwidth. Let's be real. Like,
right. There's only so much time in a day. You only have so much bandwidth, and you only have so much to give. And, you know, you got to find where you're going to give your time. And it's difficult.
The people that are working a full-time job and doing all these YouTube videos and doing all the content, killing
how?
It. You guys are killing it. As much as I hate to admit it, you know what, Drew Witt? You're killing it. Don't let it go to your head.
Don't say nice things about Drew Witt. Don't, you're going to get
him a big head. All these guys. I mean, Andy from Bird Builds, like, he's made so many videos. Now, granted, he's full-time now with it, and now he's kind of leaning more into the content. But, like, for years, he was working full-time and doing all this on the side and doing videos all the time. I mean, Brad, that's how he got started, too. I mean, Sam was doing that for years. Like, it's crazy. These people are on another level. And that's why,
and I
Workbench Con
looking at it now from where I'm sitting. Yeah. I appreciate that hustle. That is, it takes a huge commitment.
I know how much goes into that, and it's a lot. So you guys are killing it. That's why it's so great to talk to them at Workbench Con, because you see them and like, damn, like, I get it. But so we're already like hour 40 something in. Let's just answer these last two questions we have real quick.
We have
two questions. So one from Ryan and then one from Sarah, and they're pretty quick. So I think we can give quick answers. So
all right. Let's go.
This is from Ryan Guy.
Hey guys, this is Ryan from Doing Whatever on YouTube. Hey, found your podcast about a month ago and I've been binging it ever since. So really appreciate you guys putting this out. I just had one follow-up thing. I know a few episodes ago you mentioned that Brad from Fix This Build That told you guys to drop everything you're doing and get on TikTok Shop, and I was just wondering if you guys had any follow-up on that. I know personally I just got a TikTok account about a week ago, and I've put out about 6 videos. In every video I link a product that I 3D print, and they seem to be doing really well, and I'm just wondering if TikTok is pushing these videos that have linked products to try to, you know, expand this new feature that they just released. I was just wondering what you guys are seeing. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I believe that question has to be directed to you because it was you who was talking to Brad.
So about that. 100%. If you're linking your item, if you're doing videos on TikTok, linking your items will help. I can tell you that TikTok Shop, you do get sales.
They're absolutely pushing that.
I haven't done literally have not done any content since I like set it up. I've done like a couple of videos. None of them are about my products. I'm really bad about advertising my own stuff because I feel like I don't want to throw it in people's stuff, faces, but whatever. Anyways, I have gone through and like through my older videos, or actually Emma did, she tagged the items in there. So any stuff that's getting rewatched, like I am still getting orders.
So on TikTok, you can go through your old videos and tag an item?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Today I learned.
So like, yes, you are absolutely getting sales, and the people pushing the items, you're absolutely getting sales. And listen, it's a love-hate thing right now that I have with TikTok, because I think TikTok Shop is both amazing and it's freaking ruining TikTok. I wish there was an opt-out so you can like not have that. I know Dan's got some like workaround, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It's kind of ruining the vibe of TikTok because it just feels like QDC. And some people are just really bad at selling.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to
see exactly what stuff. I said in the pre-show. It feels like QVC.
Yeah. But that being said, it's bringing a lot of, you know, a lot of sales to some really good people. And there's some cool items on there. Like there's some stuff I bought. So it's, I have a love hate with it, but yes, 100%. If you are on TikTok, you should be doing it. And you know what? I'm starting to go back on the whole, like, if you do a video for TikTok, it doesn't necessarily have to go on Instagram, because TikTok's very like TikTok. You can post videos that are like what Instagram would, you would have in your stories. Get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like TikTok doesn't necessarily have to be for polished stuff. A lot of people do like, I'm responding to this comment, or like someone asked me about this, blah, blah, blah. It's like a lot more conversational. And I think I'm going to start doing that. And that's the kind of stuff, the genuine stuff where you're having a conversation or answering questions, is where the products are going to kill, because people are going to be like, oh, what's the item they're talking about? Like, this is really cool. Or like, oh, I didn't realize you made that.
And I think that's where Michael Herling and Chance have been killing it with their hat sales on TikTok Shop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we talked about all that. If you guys want to listen to a couple episodes back where we mentioned that.
And I think in the future, we're going to have at least Michael Herling on. I don't know.
I'm going to try to get Chance on too. We're literally just waiting for them to calm down. Because they're just killing it.
Actually, I might be speaking out of line here. I don't know if I asked Michael Herling if he wanted to be.
We did. I talked to him.
Okay.
Yeah, we asked him.
Okay.
I didn't talk to Chance yet, but hey, Chance, surprise, if you're listening, yeah, we want to have you on a podcast as well. So we just, you know, we'll figure it out. I just know it's, you know, you're busy. We get it. But anyways, let's get into the, anything else to add with that, Dan?
Not really. I mean, Pete nailed all the points that I would brought up. TikTok's feeling a whole lot like QVC. But if you are selling a product, if you do make things that you try to sell, I think it is definitely beneficial to get on TikTok Shop. Practice what I preach, not what I do or whatever, because I'm not on TikTok Shop yet either. I'm busy enough without it. Yeah. I'm a little scared to get on it because I've seen people post stuff on there and then like go viral. And I'm afraid of that happening and not being able to keep up. Anyway, and my workaround is you can get TikTok on your TV. If you have a smart TV, you can watch TikTok on your smart TV and no ads come up at all. No sponsored posts, no eligible for commissions, none of that. It's just straight content. So there you go.
Dan, I'm gonna say one of my favorite quotes of 2023. As a response to what you said of like people going viral and it's scary. We're afraid of the level of work that the next step of our success is going to bring on.
Absolutely.
That's what prevents us from.
I'm 100%.
Me and Dan, we
scared
are
scared of that.
So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I heard this and it literally broke my brain. It's like we often stop ourselves from pursuing the next thing or trying something new or pushing it because we're afraid of the work that's going to come with the next step of our success. Like if we get slammed and we have to then figure out how to like hire someone and maybe find a bigger space and all that stuff. And you know what? That's a good problem to have, but it's really scary to leap into that. So I call back to another episode.
I agree 100%.
Thanks. And Ryan, thank you for listening, man. Everybody go check him out on YouTube.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. And sorry.
Sorry. It gets worse if you go back. All right, last question is from Sarah, one of our patrons.
Hey, it's Sarah with Rosie's Woodshop. So I keep going back and forth. I've looked at flights now for Workbench Con, and they're not as bad as I thought they would be. And I don't know. I'm really like, I can't decide what to do, if I should go or not. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, I want to go so bad, and I think it would be a great experience for me, but like, it's a lot. And even though it's a business expense, it still is just going to be a lot of money to put down. So let me know what you guys think.
You called the wrong podcast if you want a, what's the word I'm looking for? A unbiased opinion.
Oh, I'll get it.
We're 1,000% pro Workbench Con. I think.
Yes. Well,
at least I am. You should definitely go. You're not going to regret it.
Well, first of all, like, this episode is not sponsored by WorkbenchCon. I love WorkbenchCon, and we talk about it all the time. But I'm going to tell Sarah exactly what I told her in person. She's already heard this. She's local to me. So I told her that, like, WorkbenchCon is great. It's awesome. You're going to learn a lot if you go into it with the right questions in your mind or with an open enough mind. If you go and you pay all this money and you go and you don't really know what to expect, or you don't go in with an open mind, you're going to waste your money. And the reason, only reason I'm saying that is, like, the first year we went and, like, I had a blast. I got a lot out of it, but then I was also like, I did not, like, Dan, remember, we were walking around, we're trying to figure out how to talk to brands and all this stuff, and we're just overwhelmed.
Oh, right, right.
And,
like, you felt like you didn't make the most of it.
We really, like, we just, like, we left and we're like, we dropped, or I felt like, I was like, I dropped the ball. I didn't do, like, any, we didn't lock any of this deals down. We didn't really talk to anyone. I didn't feel like I didn't, I got some great takeaways, but, like, I missed all those good classes that I really wanted to take. And, like, it was, like, all these things. And so I'm in no way, like, I told her straight up, like, it's great. You're going to get a lot out of it. It's worth it if you're, because here's the other thing. This is a content creator-esque business conference. Sarah's heavily doing, like, she's a hustler. She was on Sawdust Talk this week too. Like, she's doing a lot of, like, making products to sell them, and also doing, like, consignment stuff. Like, she's actually,
and she's also trying to start, like, a maker school.
Yeah, she's
or a woodworking school.
Yeah, absolutely. She's trying to, like, she's working towards setting up a woodworking school, and she's a teacher by trade, and she's, like, worked for a wood shop and whatnot, and, like, right, she's hustling, but it's a lot of, like, sales based, more product based stuff. Like, she's getting into content now too, and I think she can get a lot out of it, but at the same time, that's not her primary focus. And that's the only reason I told her, like, you might not want to go this year, but you definitely should go next year. And it wasn't like to, like, talk her out of
it. I say go.
But here's the other thing. And I'm just being fully unbiased on this, because, like, there's other people that, like, I don't want them to just think that we're like, go, 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 go. It's a fantastic conference. If you go in with an open mind, if you can afford it, you're going to get so much out of it. This is one of the best things you can do for your business or for yourself.
Right.
Or honestly, if you have the money, just to go meet all the cool people. It's incredible.
There you go. That right there is why I say go. Even if you're not trying to start a content creators type of business, I mean, even if you go just to meet all the other people that are in this community, in this space, that right there in and of itself is worth it to me. I enjoy the camaraderie of the community. So I'm fully in.
Again, go. And I'm not trying
if you can swing it and it's not going to put you in a huge financial bind, do it. You won't regret it.
I just want everyone to have the details. It gets expensive, especially if you're going solo. Like, it's the room's on you. You're not really sharing it with anyone. You got to get a ticket or win a ticket through us. You do that.
Or save $50.
Or save $50. Yeah. So it's definitely worth it. If it makes financial sense for you, hell yeah, go. This is one of the best things you could do. And talk to other people that are going to go, because then you're going to go with the right attitude, the right questions, the right approach to everything. And prepare to be overwhelmed in the best possible way. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to, like, walk up to people and say hi and just start talking.
And honestly, next week is the episode to really, like, that's when you're going to get your answer. Cause, we're going to be talking WorkbenchCon with Tiff. Cause obviously she does the behind the scenes for it. So she's going to be a great resource for it. And she'll give you the truth. She'll tell you all the nitty and gritty and, like, how to get the most out of WorkbenchCon. So definitely tune in next week. That's going to be a really good episode.
It's going to be a great episode. Awesome. I can't wait.
I can't wait. So yeah, I'd say, like, definitely go. It's totally worth it. As long as it makes sense, I guess.
Financially.
Well, financially. And, like, if that's really what you want to do. Cause the only reason I'm even saying any of this is because I've talked to people that have been like, I'm not going back this year. I'm like, why? Why would you not go back after going? I didn't get blah, blah, blah out of it. Or like, I focus on this. So it's not really something like I didn't get as much out of it. Or like my business is this, or like, I don't really do a lot of content. So like, I've heard people say afterwards that like, I had a blast. It was great. Got to meet cool people, but I didn't get blah, blah, blah out of it. Oh, sorry.
I feel like this could be summed up in one phrase. Workbench Con is like, you get out of it what you put in.
Exactly.
It.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just saying a long version of that.
Right. If you go there wanting to get stuff out of it and you put yourself into it, and I mean, I don't think you're going to be unhappy. I really don't.
I don't ever see myself not going, I think.
No, I'm going to go every year as long as I'm still on this genre.
As long as we're relevant still.
As long as we're relevant. Oh, look at that guy. I can't believe he still comes
in. Washed up podcasters over there. They're just like, it's just them and that some guy, Braden.
All right. Speaking of washed up podcasters, do we have any more questions?
No, I think that's it.
All right.
I had a moment of like, wait, did we have more? Like, no, that was Jake's. Okay. We're good.
That was my way of like subtly like wrapping this up because we're 2 hours in.
Almost.
According to my clock.
It's randomly. But this is the big year wrap up. We missed a week, so you guys get a double episode.
Yeah. So we do this for you.
What are you, my friend?
I think that's all we got. Hey, if you want to join the Meh Army, go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. Get joined up over there. You can get some extra content. You get the podcast early if you're into that sort of thing. Pete even drops the audio from the pre-show over there.
Yeah, it's very naughty.
If you don't ever want to join us live, you can go over there and listen to that. Pete, you got anything else to add?
See you guys next year.
It's an oldie but a goodie. And it's accurate. Love you long time.
Love you, bye-bye.
Put on your Baldo.